ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। On this 11th day of February 2014 in New Dwarka, we're reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 8, Withdrawal of the Cosmic Creations, Chapter 1, The Manus, Administrators of the Universe, text number 11. Yam pashyati na pashyantam chakshur yasya narishyati tam bhutanilayam devam supanam upadhavata yam pashyati na pashyantam chakshur yasya narishyati tam bhuta nilayam devam supanam upadhavata yam pashyati na pashyantam chakshur yasya narishyati tam bhuta nilayam devam supanam upadhavata yam pashyati na pashyantam chakshur yasya narishyati tam bhuta nilayam devam supanam upadhavata tam pashyati na pashyantam chakshur yasya narishyati tam bhuta nilayam devam supanam upadhavata pashyati na pashyantam Shiti na pashyantam yasya narishyati tanilayam devam panam davata. Ladies, pashyati na pashyantam chakshu yasya narishyati Sambhuta nilayam devam panam badhavato yam pashyati na pashyantam shakshu yasya narishyati Sambhuta nilayam devam supanam badhavato yam pashyati pashyantam chakshu yasya narishyati yam he who pashyati the living entity sees na not pashyantam although always seeing Chakshuhu, eye. It's like the eye, physical eye. Yasya, whose? Na, never. Rishyati, diminishes. Tam, him. Bhutanilayam, the original source of all living entities. Devam, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Suparnam, who accompanies the living entity as a friend. Upadhavata. Everyone should worship. So this is Swayambhuvamano continuing to chant. Although the Supreme Personality of Godhead constantly watches the activities of the world, no one sees him. However, one should not think that because no one sees him, he does not see, for his power to see is never diminished. Therefore, everyone should worship the super soul, who always stays with the individual soul as a friend. Please repeat. Although the Supreme Personality of Godhead constantly watches the activities of the world, no one sees him. However, one should not think that because no one sees him, he does not see. For his power to see is never diminished. Therefore, everyone should worship the super soul, who always stays with the individual soul as a friend. Srila Prabhupada's purport. Offering prayers to Krishna, Srimati Kunti Devi, the mother of the Pandavas, said, Alakshyam Savabhutanam Antar Bahir Avastitam. Quote, Krishna, you reside both inside and outside of everything, yet the unintelligent conditioned souls cannot see you. Close quote. In the Bhagavad Gita, it is said that one can see the Supreme Personality of Godhead through Jnana Chakshusha, eyes of knowledge. He who opens these eyes of knowledge is called the spiritual master. Thus we offer our prayers to the spiritual master with the following shloka. Om Jnana Timarandhasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshur Unmilitam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha. I offer my respectful obeisances unto my spiritual master, who with the torchlight of knowledge has opened my eyes, which were blinded by the darkness of ignorance. This is from the Gautamiya Tantra. The Guru's task is to open the disciple's eyes of knowledge. When the disciple is awakened from ignorance to knowledge, he can see the Supreme Personality of Godhead everywhere, because the Lord actually is everywhere. Andantarastha padamana chayantarastham. The Lord resides within this universe. He resides within the hearts of all living entities, and he resides even within the atom. Because we lack perfect knowledge, we cannot see God, but a little deliberation can help us to see God everywhere. This requires training. With a little deliberation, even the most degraded person can perceive the presence of God. If we take into account whose property is the vast ocean, whose property is the vast land, how the sky exists, how the numberless millions of stars and planets are set in the sky, who has made this universe and whose property it is, we should certainly come to the conclusion that there is a proprietor of everything. When we claim proprietorship over a certain piece of land, whether individually or for our families or nations, we should also consider how we became the proprietors. The land was there before our birth, before we came to the land. How did it become our property? Such deliberation will help us understand that there is a supreme proprietor of everything, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. The Supreme Godhead is always awake. In the conditioned stage, we forget things because we change our bodies. But because the Supreme Personality of Godhead does not change his body, he remembers past, present, and future. Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita 4.1, Imam Vasvate Yogam Proktavan Ahamavyayam. I spoke this science of God, the Bhagavad Gita, to the sun god at least 40 million years ago. Close quote. When Arjuna inquired from Krishna how he, the Krishna, could remember incidents that had taken place so long ago, the Lord answered that Arjuna was also present at that time. Because Arjuna is Krishna's friend, wherever Krishna goes, Arjuna goes. But the difference is that Krishna remembers everything, whereas the living entity, like Arjuna, being a minute particle of the Supreme Lord, forgets. Therefore, it is said, the Lord's vigilance is never diminished. This is also confirmed in the Bhagavad Gita 15.15, Sarvasichaham Vidisam Nivishto Mattak Smatir Jnanam Apohanancha. The Supreme Personality of Godhead in his Paramatma feature is always present within the hearts of all living entities, and from him come memory, knowledge, and forgetfulness. This is also indicated in this verse by the word Suparnam, which means friend. In the Shvetashvatara Upanishad 4.6, it is therefore said, Dva Suparna Sayuja Sakaya Samanam Vriksham Padishash Vajate. Two birds are sitting on the same tree as friends. One bird is eating the fruit of the tree, and the other is simply observing. This observing bird is always present as a friend to the eating bird and giving him remembrance of things he wanted to do. Thus, if we take into account the Supreme Personality of Godhead in our daily affairs, we can see him, or at least perceive his presence everywhere. The words chakshur yasya narishyati mean that although we cannot see him, this does not mean that he cannot see us. Nor does he die when the cosmic manifestation is annihilated. The example is given in this connection that the sunshine is present when the sun is present. But when the sun is not present, or when we cannot see the sun, this does not mean that the sun is lost. The sun is there, but we cannot see it. Similarly, although we cannot see the Supreme Personality of Godhead in our present darkness, our lack of knowledge, he is always present, seeing our activities. As the Paramatma, he is the witness and advisor, Upadrashta and Anumanta. Therefore, by following the instructions of the spiritual master and studying authorized literatures, one can understand that God is present before us, seeing everything, although we have no eyes with which to see him. Om jnana tamarandasya jnananjana shalakaya chukshu unmidatam mena tasmai shri gurave namaha. I was born in the darkness of ignorance. My spiritual master Srila Prabhupada opened my eyes with the torchlight of knowledge. I offer my humble obeisances unto him and all members of Sri Parampara. So this is, as we mentioned, Swayambhuva Manu, having left his position of rulership and gone to the forest, and now he's standing on one foot for many, many years, performing severe austerities, and he's chanting this mantra, which many of you must have noticed is very similar to the Ishopanishad. In fact, the previous verse, I think it was the previous verse or the verse before it, it was this verse, text number 10, is practically identical to the first verse of the Ishopanishad. Atma vasya midam vishvam yatkinchit jagat yam jagat tena chaktena bunjita magodakasi siddhanam. You recognize those words. So the Upanishads are these ancient, eternal vibrations, really, that are part of the original Vedas. So it's very appropriate that the Swayambhuva Manu, who is the very first Manu to creation, is now chanting this mantra. And at the end of this little section where he chants, it will be described that he's chanting the Upanishad. The word Upanishad is used. So in this particular verse, the idea of the Lord's vision and our vision are being discussed. And the first thing is that he's seeing everything. Krishna is within the heart as the super soul, and he sees everything that we do, and he sees our very thoughts and remembrances. Prabhupada mentioned this right in the beginning of the Bhagavad Gita, in the introduction, before even the first verse. I remember this line. Somehow it always struck me that the Paramatma, the super soul, is always within the heart, and he's always seeing everything that we're doing, everything that we're thinking. And then Prabhupada says, one should not forget this. And that's practically the basic injunction of Krishna consciousness. Now, why have we forgotten this? We have chosen to forget this. We have chosen to forget Krishna. We have chosen to forget his presence in our heart. And the reason is because we wanted to enjoy sense gratification. As soon as we turn away from Krishna with that desire, then Maya is immediately there to cover us and throw us. She has these two potencies of covering our knowledge, bewildering, and throwing, meaning to bind us to this material world of suffering. So now we're in a position where we don't know who we are. We certainly don't know Krishna. We don't know our relationship or anything. All we know are the vicissitudes, the differences, the modes of nature in all of its varieties. And our activities are mediated or controlled by that involvement, that attachment with the material energy. Prabhupada was always fond of quoting this verse, Purushak Pakati Stohi Bunkate Pakati Jangonan. That the living entity, as the Purusha, the false enjoyer, we take this role of the Purusha rather than Prakriti, was situated within material energy, Pakati Stohi. And we're experiencing, enjoying and suffering, the varieties of things that happen from the material energy. Bhunte prakriti jan gunan. So the gunas, the modes of passion, the modes of ignorance, the modes of goodness, they are generated from prakriti, and we are relating to that, those modes of nature, in unlimited varieties of ways and experiencing the reaction, sometimes pleasurable and sometimes very painful. And in this way, as we associate with those modes, we determine our future. Karanam guna sangosya sadasajoni janmasu. That association with the modes is causing us to create a certain mentality and do certain things that then have reactions, and that determines our sadasajoni janmasu, our good and bad births, human life or even subhuman life, sometimes superhuman life. So this is going on, Prabhupada says in the purport, this is going on. The living entity is sometimes born as a demigod, sometimes as a man, sometimes as a bug. You know, this is going on. So, and through all of this, through all of our changes of body, up and down the universe, millions of lifetimes, Krishna accompanies us as the super soul. What a friend, you know? I mean, friendship is a basic principle in this world. It's one of the main rasas, relationships. Someone who you relate to, who you have affection for, who you're willing to help when there's a problem and will help you, like that. But what kind of friendship is it? Do we have any kind of friend who, although ignoring us for millions of lifetimes, still stays with us and is willing to instruct us and give us good advice how we can come back to him? This is Krishna, the supreme friend. Suridam sava bhutanam gyatva mam shantam ichchati. This is how we can finally attain peace. This is one of the main formulas, you know, is to understand Krishna as the friend of every living entity within the heart. And also, what does it say? Bhoktaram yagitapasam, that he's the enjoyer of all sacrifices and all penances, all efforts. Why? Sarvaloka maheshwaram. Because he created everything. He's the supreme master of everything. And therefore, he should be the enjoyer. But the wonderful thing about it is that if we understand this principle and we try to develop that Krishna consciousness, that service attitude and understanding of Krishna, then we end up, first of all, being peaceful, which is, how can there be any happiness without peace? Right? Krishna says the same. So we become peaceful and more joyful because we're part and parcel of Krishna. So when he enjoys and we make an effort to help him in our little tiny way, then we're connected and we also participate in his enjoyment. That's why service to Krishna is so satisfying. And it becomes more and more satisfying and more pleasurable the more that we become pure. Whereas just the opposite happens with sense gratification. Sense gratification, there's you know, it's happiness in the beginning and misery at the end, right? So it's like a little bit of titillation of the senses. There's no doubt there's some pleasure there. And a whole lot of misery that comes, right? First of all, you're ensuring your future, you know, rebirth and death, right? Nunam pramatta kurate vikarma yarindriya pritaya apanoti. Krishna certifies, as Lord Rishabhdev, that certainly those who are simply concerned with sense gratification in this world, 99.999% of the people, are mad, intoxicated. Why are they mad? Because it's a self-defeating, self-destructive activity. Kurate vikarma, his opinion is not a very good idea. Because by this activity, yata atmanoyam asannapi klesha dasadeya, you're sure to get another material body, which is full of misery. And because you're performing vikarma, which is sinful activity, it may very well be a lower body, or even if it's a human body, more and more suffering. It's a no-win situation. And we know this. You see, and Krishna is telling us this from the Bhagavad Gita, from the mouth of the Guru, from the mouth of the sadhus, from all the books that we have given by Srila Prabhupada, and also from within. And yet with all of this good instruction, still we're dragging our feet. Still, because of our conditioning, and because of our causeless unwillingness to serve, we still fall into this illusion of trying to enjoy this world. So now the context is very interesting here. If you may have noticed, now you're in the eighth canto, and some of you have been around and around, the Bhagavatam is filled with accounts of these great devotees especially in like positions of leadership, is the king, Swayambhu Vamanu, who enjoy many, many, many years of opulence and management and all of these different things. And then at a certain point, they leave it all behind. And then they perform these severe austerities. I mean, how many here are ready to go out into the forest and chant the Isha Upanishad standing on one leg for about 1,000 years? This is what he's doing. He's standing on one leg and chanting this mantra. You know, basically the Isha Upanishad, the similar Upanishads. Now, why is he doing this? Because, especially you find these kings. I remember King Prithu, of course, Parikit sat down for 7 days, gave it all up, right? He had notice. The Pandavas in San Diego were reading the first canon. We've come all around to the first canon again. And now we're at that tremendously moving section where the disappearance of Krishna, and then the Pandavas retire timely. Recall that? Where they give it all up, and they just start walking to the north. Even Kunti is walking to the Himalayas. And one by one, they leave their body and go back to Godhead. So the point is that these great devotees who are in this position of service as kshatriyas, rulers of the world, the universe, whatever it is, they know that just being in that position, that there are attachments that develop, And in order to show example, of how we're not meant to leave this world with ideas of sense gratification and comfort, they perform these severe austerities in order to burn everything out and simply focus their mind on Krishna. The great, and this is necessary for every living entity, any person who wants to progress. Now, in the modern age, each age has its own yuga dharma and its own standard of austerity and detachment and focus. And in this age, it's been made, as Prabhupada said again and again, very easy by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. But the principle is the same. Vairagya Vidya, Nija Bhakti Yoga. There has to be that conscious cultivation of detachment and cultivation of knowledge in the context of Bhakti Yoga, not independently. Not that this renunciation can happen devoid of Bhakti. That's false renunciation. Prapanchikadiya Abhidya Hari Sambandhi Vastunak. This is a verse about the impersonalists, who they think everything is maya. Prapanchikadeya, they think everything is material. Even Krishna's form, Krishna's name, prasadam, all of this. That's called mayavad. It's all maya. Even those things that are related to Vishnu. Harisambandhi vastunak. Mumukshubi parityago. So they're so ardently, desirous of liberation. Devotees aren't, that is not their main concern. Liberation. That they know is coming automatically. Now, it may be a strong impetus at the beginning. That's why Krishna says, janma mitya vyada vyadi dukkha dosha anadarshanam. One should always, as part of knowledge, to see the miseries of old age, disease, death, and rebirth. But our main concern is developing our relation with Krishna and cultivating that bhakti, that real devotion, which automatically brings in his train, mukti. But the impersonalists, they don't believe in bhakti because they don't believe in Krishna. That is real. It's just a temporary manifestation of Brahman, So how can you develop devotion for that? It's just totally artificial. So their vairagya is pogu, it means very weak, and it cannot remain. So, but the principle of vairagya means dispassion. It doesn't necessarily mean giving up, although there's definitely things we give up. No meat eating, no illicit sex, no gambling, no intoxication. Those cannot be dovetailed in Krishna consciousness. The way that we deal with them is by giving them up. that's the principle. That's tyaga. But for the most part, it's vairagya, which means that you take, there's money, there's temples, there's even sex life. As Krishna says, dharma varuro bhutasmi kamasmi bhadatarshaba. That can also be engaged, But in the principle, in the mood of detachment, that we're attached to Krishna, we're doing it as a matter of duty. Now, the stark examples of detachment from what do we detach from? Everyone has a heart, right? We all have a heart, and within our heart are so many different desires. And being in contact with material energy, There are various attachments to people, to things, to experiences, to our own comfort, to different ideas, so many things. And the default is to yield to those desires. But then into our lives has come, by good fortune, by the mercy of the spiritual master, a whole other paradigm. And that is, what is Krishna's desire? What is the spiritual master's desire? What are the desires of all of the great saints and sages who have come before us? Now we have two things. And this is perfectly illustrated in the Bhagavad Gita. In the Bhagavad Gita, Arjuna has his own desires. He's covered by Krishna so that he expresses them. And it's not for his own safety and his own comfort. It's because he's attached to his guru, his teacher, Dronacharya, and the great grandfather who everyone reveres, Bhishma Dev, and all of these other blood relations and marriage relations that he has with the other side. Because it's really one family, the Kuru dynasty. Although the Pandavas are said, they're also part of that dynasty. So suddenly, right, he has this weakness of heart, Krishna says. Ridya Daubalyam. He doesn't want to fight. Not because he's afraid of dying, but because he's afraid of killing. He doesn't want to, you know, see them dead, and what to speak of, be part of killing his guru, Dronacharya. So that's his dilemma. But he's a devotee, you know. So he has this whole other, he knows Krishna wants it. He knows it's the right thing to do, that Yudhishthira should be on the throne. And so he's paralyzed. And the Bhagavad Gita is spoken in order to resolve this great dilemma that Arjuna is in. And it's perfect. It's a universal situation, the living entity, who comes in touch with this knowledge, but is still being pulled in that direction. So we can completely relate. And that's why what is it that, you know, inspires us to act one way rather than another? Well, as we come in touch with Krishna consciousness, we begin practicing. It's essential that you begin practicing, meaning chanting. And that chanting itself is Krishna. It's Krishna in sound form. And the more that we pay attention and really absorb ourselves in the holy name, Krishna is actually cleaning the heart. Shunvatam sakata Krishna punya shravana kirtana. What is the most pious, the greatest sound to hear is the holy name itself. That's part of the meaning of that verse. And again it says he's the best friend. You know, here's a friend who will always be our friend, even as we're crawling around as some insect somewhere, worm and stool, Prabhupada. He's still a friend. He's still a friend. Okay, you know, bring him back up all the way to the human form, give him another chance. There's always another chance. There's no eternal damnation. That's crazy, you know. But it can be, you know, so much suffering when we don't listen to our real friend in the tree of the body, you know, the classic example. It's in the Bhagavatam as well as the Upanishads. So by this chanting and by hearing the Shastra given by the pure devotees, Krishna's words as given to us by the pure devotee Srila Prabhupada, then the bird, you know, in the tree can finally start turning to his real friend and acting in such a way for his real benefit. But he still has all of these other pulls on him. So it's a question of our, this is why the spiritual master is so important. Because we know what Krishna wants. You know, anyone can walk in off the street or read a book. You can read online. All the Prabhupada's books are online. It's available completely. But then when it comes to, it's not easy to read Prabhupada's books because you won't be reading very long before you come against some challenge to your whole, lifestyle and your whole life. They're normative. Normative means that they're telling you what to do and what not to do. There's a moral imperative there. It's not just some book of philosophy. Maybe like this, maybe like that, you know. So then the question is, well, do I accept this injunction to give up all this nonsense and actually, practice bhakti yoga or not? You know? Well, the chance is not, you know, because you're reading the book in some remote place and chances are that you won't become a full-fledged devotee on your own. That's why association is so important. And that association culminates in when you have, it doesn't culminate, but a very important aspect is when you meet someone who you can surrender to. What are you surrendering? You're surrendering your will. Your will, which is based around the false ego. which means I am the master. All right, I'm not the supreme master, but at least I'm the master of this little amount of money, this space I can enjoy, I can do what I want. That's the false ego. And that's exactly what you have to surrender. So, now, is it easier to surrender to a person or to an idea? Obviously, it's a person. You know, there's a kind of, you know, we know that the material world is a perverted reflection of the spiritual world, right? So within this material world, we have these phenomena that we can learn from also. Just think of like an ordinary person, a good, you know, dutiful husband and wife, okay? And just, you know, the old paradigm where the wife is at home taking care of the kids and doing a lot of work, you know, and husband goes off to earn livelihood, okay? So now, you know, he doesn't want to go off. He'd much rather, you know, hopefully, it's, you know, maybe when the weekend is coming, you know, he'd rather just stay and enjoy himself, go on vacation, do whatever. But he's going off, you know, getting on that freeway or getting on that train or bus, going off every day, working in a job that, you know, the boss is like, you know, lording it over him, whatever. There's a whole bunch of austerities he's performing. Why? Out of the sense of duty for the wife and the children, you know. Now, of course, when he comes, there'll be a reciprocation there. Okay. I'm, you know, providing, and there's a rasa there. But the point is there's two impetuses. One is the sense of what's right, what I should do, and what I should do for the, you know, the larger sense of pleasure, which is that I'm you know, supporting the family and getting that reciprocation from that. And the other is what my senses are telling me. You know, get off the highway, get into the bar, you know, take a drink, relax, you know, whatever, you know. Or, you know, go off, you know, and in the workplace, of course, now it's always co-ed, forgive me, you know, that's from my old, so you may get attracted to someone else, you know. Now that's not a good thing, you know. So then the question is, will I, you know, go with this, or will I be dutiful, and, you know. So there's these dilemmas are there all the time. And those who are said to be good people, you know, those who follow the moral course and, you know, support the family and do that kind of thing. So now we have a same thing in Krishna consciousness. We know there's the right thing to do, but here the relationship is one very transcendental and eternal, you know, the relationship with the spiritual master and Krishna, telling what is the right thing to do, the good thing to do for our ultimate happiness, and not only us, but the whole world. You know, as devotees, we also have a responsibility, having come in touch with this knowledge, to be good devotees so that we can give it out to others. If you're not practicing, then you don't have any potency to give it, you know. So on all kinds of perspectives, we know what we should do, and we should try to do it. And so that key element is that, okay, we actually do it. We actually get up. We come to Mangalarti. We actually chant around. We try to control. You know, we do, and we're struggling. That's good. We're on the right path, you know. So that is really what is called sadhana. That is the practice. And the advantage of the bhakti yogis, as expressed here in this verse and purport, is that we have Krishna as our friend helping us in this endeavor. Because the whole thing culminates in reawakening that original loving relationship with Krishna, with what he wants more than anything. The jnanis don't have that. Certainly the karmis don't have that. The Ashtanga yogis don't have it, what to speak of the Mayavadis. They're all on their own to try to advance as best they can. And they're all defeated. They're all defeated by the material energy sooner or later. So this is why, as you know, the whole thing is miraculous. Prabhupada came to America, you know, there were no bhaktas, you know. And just by the chanting, he had great faith in the holy name. You know, this is what he said. This is a great faith in the power of the holy name to purify. And that was his preaching, you know, chant, and then hear me explain the Bhagavad Gita and so forth. Chant, and hear. By the chanting, you can hear better. Krishna gives, that's one of the ways he reciprocates. He gives you attraction for the transcendental sound vibration. This section from the second chapter, beginning verse 6, describing second chapter, first canto, describing the supreme dharma. And then how it culminates ultimately in seeing Krishna. We're talking about seeing the Lord. And that's so important. Prabhupada spoke again and again in those verses. 1-6 to 1-20 or so forth about that. We made a book out of it, Dharma, the Way of Transcendence. And so much of it, remember the first part is how does one get an attraction to hearing? There's like umpteen million people in this city, and there's like 50 of us here hearing Bhagavatam, a small minority. You know, everyone else has something else to do, sleeping, getting ready for work, whatever it is. So how do you get that attraction? By serving the spiritual master. Shushusho shudadhana sya basadeva kataruchi syan mahat sevaya vipra punya tirtana shevanat. How to get that Vasudeva Kata Ruchi. You know, that's what he's saying. Shushusho shudadhana. So shushusho means hearing with great attention. That ardent hearing or submissive oral reception, Prabhupada has different ways of describing. With great faith, Vasudeva Kata Ruchi Syan. It comes into being, the Vasudeva Kata Ruchi, the desire to hear, by serving the great devotee, who are veritable places of pilgrimage themselves. As we saw, Prabhupada created this place of pilgrimage by coming here and establishing and preaching. So then what happens when that ruchi comes is that, you know, if you really have ruchi, you never want to stop, right? So then you can hear and chant and you get the sword of remembrance. Yanudunyasena yukta karma granti nabandhanam chintanti kovidasase kona kuya kataratim. It says, anudyasina means the sword of remembrance. Karma granti nabandhanam chintanti. So with that sword, you can cut off all this bondage of karma. You know, and the karma bondage includes all of our tendencies to rebel against Krishna. That is all cut off. We're getting more and more attracted. Who would not be attracted? He says, who would be the fool who would not try to cultivate this attraction? And then he begins, Shrinvatam Sukata Krishna. Krishna, as the best friend of the truthful devotee, the honest devotee, one who is sincere, from within the heart, when he understands, he sees everything, he also hears everything. Oh, now they're hearing about me? Okay. Now he starts, you know, real purification. And what's the result? The result is that you give up the lower modes of nature. You become fixed in goodness. Nashta praisha badreshu nityam bhagavata sevaya. Bhagavajuttama shloke bhakti bhavati naishtiki. Become steady in devotional service. It's not such a struggle. The thing Krishna is helping us. He's the best friend. And then when you're nishta, and then when it's almost not fully purified, but most of it is purified, this is the nishta stage, as explained by Rupa Goswami in his ladder there, famous ladder from faith to prema, faith to love, pure love. Then tadarajastamo bhava kama lobhare yeshade. Then the modes of passion and ignorance, you're fixed in goodness, and their concomitants, you're not troubled by lust and anger and greed and all those different things. It becomes easier, and it becomes more spontaneous. And it just increases after that. Prasanna manasa. This word prasanna is so important. It's used again and again. Prasanna means different things. One of the things is very clear. The mind becomes clear and naturally joyful and pleased. Naturally joyful. Prasanna manasa bhagavad bhakti yoga. Bhagavad tatta vijnanam. So it's talking about seeing. This is all about seeing the Lord in the heart. He sees everything, but we don't see him. So now he's talking about, in this second, about seeing him ultimately. So it says, vigyan. Vigyan is realized knowledge. Means that you directly perceived. You know, all the things that we hear about, you start directly perceiving. Bhagavat tattva vigyanam mukta sangha sajaya. Then there's no question of any more attachment to this world. You're liberated. And then, vidyate vidya grantish chidyante sarva sankshaya chiyante chasakarmani drishte eva atmanishvare. So all of these knots in the heart that we've been cultivating for millions of births, these different attachments, subtle and gross, emotional, psychological, physical, sensual, they're in there, you know, and someday they come out in the right environment, in the right place, we'll see that, you know, they manifest. All cut. Vidyade vidyagan. Chinyade, all the doubts are gone. These doubts, you know, it's very difficult because we can't see Krishna. He's a kokshinja, beyond the realm of our perception. So that requires so much faith. When that faith weakens somewhat, then the doubts arise. Is this real? And then the other kind of doubt, can I do this? You know, that's another doubt. Can I actually do this process? You know, that's really a doubt of Krishna, because Krishna can empower anyone. Right? He's supremely powerful. So it's a subtle form of doubt, and it's all Maya's trick to make you slack off in the sadhana, which will just increase your doubt and your illusion. But here he says, all the doubts are destroyed. Chi ande chasi karmani, no more karma. Drishta evatmanishvare. It's exactly pertinent to this verse. And then you see the Lord as a master within your heart. You actually perceive. Yomam pashyati sarvatra sarvam shamai pashyati. So, it's simply a question of purification of the vision. Oma gyanati mirandasya. It's like a medicinal ointment he's applying with a shalakaya, which is a medical instrument, the spiritual master. You know, open your eyes. You know, wake up, jeev jago. What does it say? That's everybody dies, nobody dies. Wake up, and open your eyes. You're not that body of pure spirit soul. Chant the holy name and attain life's goal. You know you weren't going to get away without one poem or something. But that's really what the Vedas are saying. You know, don't sleep. Jagrata. Uttista jagrata. Wake up. So we've been sleeping for millions of births. Now, you know, the spiritual wakes us up. And we have to stay awake and become more awake. So that's what's happening here. And we should always remember, you know, this is like, I don't want to, you know, raise this personality, but Freud had this idea of the, you know, the id, the superego, and the ego, you know. So the superego functions like the conscience. He had some vague idea, but it's really like that. The superego, the super soul, is Krishna. And he's always giving us good instruction, but we can't hear him. We're too absorbed this way. So he comes outside as the spiritual master and as the shastra to teach us. And those who are fortunate enough, have some background, maybe in some piety, you know, gyata sukriti, we listen, even just a little bit, begin listening. And if we're receptive to that message, and we begin the practice, then, you know, it becomes more and more meaningful. Until you find that, you know, it's just like an addictive drug. The sound of Krishna's name, and all of the beautiful, you know, sound, everything. About from the Shastra. It's all pure nectar. Even those descriptions that are, you know, so heavy. Yasyatma buddhi kunapetvi datuke swadhi kalatrasha bhoma idjadi yatirta buddhi sadhane nakarcha dhanesha bhagyesha seva gokara. Here Krishna is saying that that someone who has the understanding that this bag of blood and bones and pus and other unmentionables is me. That's me, yasyatma buddhi. Then he's no better than a cow or an ass. You know? And someone who thinks, these are mine, what is mine? My wife, my husband, my home, my insurance, my car, my. That's another qualification, ass-like consciousness. And just to go to a place of pilgrimage and not want to hear from the realized souls who reside there, it's just like what Krishna says, you know, it's a kind of demoniac mentality. I'll go as a matter of, you know, course. But in, you know, I don't want to be shaken up about, you know, what I understand. I know everything already. That's also another disqualification. So that verse spoken by Krishna is pure nectar. As much as, you know, the songs of the gopis in the tenth canto, which is also nectar. So this desire to hear, Prabhupada says, is the first qualification for going back to Godhead. This ardent desire to hear Krishna katha. So we should cultivate that in all these ways. And here we have, you know, this, you know, we hear again and again, he's watching everything, you know. I mean, they even have the perverted effect. He knows when you've been naughty, right? He knows when you've been good. That whole Christmas thing is like a super perverted reflection of this idea, you know. In other words, Krishna knows. Paramatma knows. And he's giving us, you know, good instruction, so we should follow it. He's come as a spiritual man, and one day, if we follow it, we'll actually be able to hear from within. He'll be guiding our every move and every thought. That's what we're looking for. So I'll read this translation again. Although the Supreme Personality of Godhead constantly watches the activities of the world, no one sees him. However, one should not think that because no one sees him, he does not see. For his power to see is never diminished. As it says, he's always awake. Therefore, everyone should worship the super soul who always stays with the individual soul as a friend. Any discussion? Questions on this? Prema.
Dravida Prabhu, thank you for a very nice class.
Hare Krishna.
When you are a very young devotee, when you start to develop attachment to Srila Prabhupada books, can you explain a little bit, can you say summarization about how your attachment and realization, you know, what your experience?
Okay, could you repeat, just hold it a little away from me.
Okay,
now.
When you are a young devotee, and when you start to work on Srila Prabhupada books, probably you got so much very nice realization about, profound realization about Krishna consciousness. So can you give some hint what you were experience and what was your, you know, how your attachment to Prabhupada's books increase, and what is someone maybe main philosophical point from the books or some story from the, you know.
Well, the wonderful thing about it is that just like Krishna, you know, we have this word that is ever, he's ever fresh, right? In other words, unlike material things which grow stale, you know, you may after some time you want to move on to something new, something different, you know. Krishna is ever fresh, right? There's so many verses about that, which means that the same Krishna who we come before as a deity, or we chant the name with so many different manifestations, the paintings, you know, that there's newer and newer things to experience from that apparently same object or same phenomenon. And so how do you experience differently? Because you change. Your consciousness becomes pure. Now, we know also it can go the other way. If you want it, you can contaminate your consciousness. And after some time, we have had experience. This movement is almost 50 years old now. Of people who are dancing and chanting and serving and appreciating it in bliss, and somehow or other, because it's a razor's edge, they allow the modes of nature to come back in. They have maybe offended a devotee or offended the spiritual master. And what happens? The taste goes. The taste disappears. It can disappear all at once. And then what happens? You have to have taste, so you go to the material side. And then what you once appreciated, you no longer appreciate. So if we're, you know, if we're fortunate and we're strict, then that appreciation for everything Krishna, you know, Tulsi Puja. I mean, do we really think about what we're saying there? This is a prayer to become a Manjari. She's a Gopi. We want to be just the maidservant of the, you know, and it's, you know, it's so auspicious. It's fantastic. But each one of us in the Tulsi Puja is appreciating it in a different way. Some are like, mine is wandering, it's Bengali. I don't know the word. I know the words, but I don't know the meaning. You know, that's a real danger. Even the English you can chant, you know, and it doesn't mean it. I mean, anything can become rote, you know, Niyamagra. So, but then at one point, you know, this is one of the advantages of becoming older, is that, you know, one way or another, you see the end, you know, coming pretty close. And you realize the urgency of getting into it, of really trying to appreciate more and more this holy name. We read about the results of the holy name, right? Avram Bhattaksa Priyanamakirtan. It says right in the Bhagavatam. This verse, by the way, Avram Bhattak, is said by Lord Chaitanya that his spiritual master, Ishwarpuri, said was the essence of the whole Bhagavatam in this one verse. And it's all about how chanting the holy name, which is very dear to one develops raga, love for Krishna, which results in all of these symptoms. You know, crying and laughing and rolling on the ground, shouting, this is described here, and dancing, you know. So, I mean, I'll be honest, I haven't shouted and rolled on the ground. I haven't laughed. What's wrong? You know, well, okay. And, you know, I'm holding back, you know. So the thing is that it doesn't matter how long. It matters how sincere you are and how earnest you are in pushing forward and for purification. How often you make that decision, sense gratification, no, duty, and you know, yes, you know. And then the internal aspect to really, you know, focus, you know. We hear, for instance, this morning, I'll just give you an example, okay. We know, you know, from the Gosvam Ashtaka, it says, Papo tapa nakunta nota nubatam govinda gana amritai. So that the Cisco Swamis, especially the ones who wrote so much, they are relieving the severe sufferings of sinful souls by pouring down nectar, you know, floods of nectar of songs about Krishna. Well, what does that mean? Well, okay, we have some sand. We have the nectar of devotion, and all of our books really are following the Goswamis. We have it. But we still maybe feel like we're suffering. You know, we may not experience them as you know, showers of nectar. So here's an example. I'll just give you an example of what I was just reading. What are those Ganamritai? And I'll give you some, you know, this is by Rupa Goswami. It's called the Govinda Viradavali. Now, we may not realize that, you know, these Goswamis, they took this Sanskrit poetry to a different level. You know, we read the Isha Upanishad. You know, this is ancient Sanskrit. This is Vedic Sanskrit. You know, it's a different language practically. But the Goswamis and, you know, like Bilva Mangal Thakur, you know, who came before them, they with the language they took it to a different level. So here's an example. This is called the one verse, one section. I won't read the whole thing from the Govinda Viradavali. Now the Viradavali, this is a form of poetry. Avali, we should know. Avali means a series. Chandravali, a series of things. Of Virudas. It means calling out to Krishna with great anxiety. With, you know, and it's a series of callings out. So it's direct address, just like the Hare Krishna mantra, which is more powerful. Oh, Krishna, please save me. It's different than saying, Krishna will save you. You see, one is in the third person, and you're directly calling out to Krishna. Why these prayers are so important, Kunti's prayers and so on. So this is all directly to Krishna. So here's an example. Just read four lines of this. This is what you can do with it. Abrahma patimada mardi padakrama vibrahma padimala lupta saricchama dushta danudabala darpa vimadana tushta vadayasa da paksha vivardana. It goes on and on like that until it says, and then there's a verse attached. Now this is all about Krishna. So what he's saying here, Abramupati. Anyone have any idea who that is? This comes up again. It's a name for Airavata, the great elephant of Indra, who was married to Abramu. This is actually, it describes that in the churning that his wife comes out to. An elephant, two elephants. So why Abramupati? Because they're very graceful in walking, right? That's the whole thing, walking. So this means Abramupati Madhamari Padakrama. So it means, O Lord, whose footsteps or gait crushes the pride of the elephant Airavata. That's the first understanding. Okay, so that's a little idea. It's a little picture, right? Then the next one, O Lord, whose charming bodily fragrance steals away your friend's fatigue. You probably never thought of that. That just by walking with Krishna and his beautiful bodily fragrance, all their fatigue was relieved. O Lord, who crushed the strength and pride of the demons. O Lord, who delight the hearts of the saintly devotees. So it goes on and on like that. Now, why am I bringing this up? Because Rupa Goswami, who's after all, you know, our Rasa Guru, right? We're supposed to be Rupanugas. This is part of what he spent his time on, writing this for us, you know. And you can just manage, you know, imagine what Prabhupada told us when we went to India. You know, in the Radha Damodara temple, you remember? He said, oh, the Goswamis would gather there and hear and chant. Well, what were they hearing chanting? Listen to this, Sanatan. He just wrote this, and they would be chanting these things. So what I'm saying is that this is just one of many ways of just completely being absorbed in Krishna, as Krishna, in Vrindavan, all of these relations. It's all Krishna Vrindavan, you know. So admittedly, you know, to cultivate this, you know, I memorize this once. I'm trying to re-memorize it now. It's a way of becoming absorbed in Krishna, as is the chanting of the Hare Krishna mantra. All of these vibrations. So cultivating a taste for this, for focusing and remembering Krishna through the sound vibration, is the foundation of all of our advancement. And the more that you know, we're able to do this through the songs, the kirtans, and you'll have the night of kirtans. You know, so it should. Then it also develops. So what about the injunction to give this to others? This is the whole thing with book distribution. Prabhupada wanted everyone to get a chance to develop this, to, you know, to get this other side, so that they could overcome the miseries of this world. So it's all one. And the more that we desire to hear about this, the less we'll have to hear about anything else. It's ever fresh, ever new. So that's I don't know if that answered your question, but it's there. It can go both ways. It doesn't matter how long you've been in the movement. It matters how sincere you've fully, striven to make the right choice and serve Krishna. Any other questions? Yes, Maharaj. I'm sorry.
What happens when one go back home, back to Godhead? What happens to the super soul which follows you in every species of life?
Yeah, the super soul is not in the spiritual world. There, Krishna is there personally. So there, your friend is there in front of you. Krishna is there. So the super soul is only here in the material world. Okay. It's like you read the expansions of Mahavishnu, Garbhadakshi, Chiradakshi. It's all for creation and it's only for material world. No spirit, no super soul there. There's no difference between yourself and your body there. You have a spiritual body. All right, one more and then we'll end. I'm sorry I went over.
Thank you for a nice class, Prabhu.
Hare Krishna.
That was kind of a big question, but try to get quickly. But you're talking about the importance of finding a spiritual master and opening one's eyes with the torchlight of knowledge. And this is like a really crucial aspect of advancement. A lot of people sometimes have doubts, or they argue that, there's no one like Srila Prabhupada, now there's, some people even say there's no Uttama Adhikari, in ISKCON and all these things. And I mean, is this really necessary, or is this some kind of impediment in our progress, or is there other ways around this, or do you even think this is...
Other ways around the... In other words, getting...
Like, in other words, is it dependent upon the person that you're seeking, or is it more dependent upon your own sincerity or your...
It's essential. I mean, reading the Nectar of Devotion, Bhakti Samana Sindhu, that's the first principle. Adogubhashriya. The first thing is you have to surrender to a guru and then inquire and serve. These are the first principles. So, but one should understand that the guru is not alone. It's always gurun, There's a guru and there's gurus behind them. For a guru to be a guru in ISKCON, it means that they're, a sincere disciple, a good disciple, perfect disciple. Perfect is a difficult word, but you understand what I mean. Of Srila Prabhupada. We've gone over and over this. They're giving Srila Prabhupada's instruction. That's why this whole thing with the fall of the jiva is so important. Because this was Prabhupada's conclusion of this philosophical point. And as soon as you hear this, wait, no, it means that they're not following Srila Prabhupada. They really can't be. This is a GBC decision. But back to your question. So the point is you need to be able to feel that responsibility towards someone who's a genuine member of this parampara. And that, no, I can't because I have this personal relationship. So there has to be a person there, and that person has follower of Srila Prabhupada, genuine follower of Srila Prabhupada that you can take shelter of. It means you can trust their instruction, that is not there's not some personal motive there. It's sincerely given for your benefit, and that they're giving the message as it is, as Srila Prabhupada gave it, and they're acting as Prabhupada wanted us to act. The Acharya principle, I'll end with this. It's very important. Acharya means that knows the Shastra, behaves according to the rules of the Shastra, and takes the trouble to teach or preach the lessons of the Shastra. You find someone who is like that, and then you can take shelter. All glories to Srila Prabhupada.
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.